James Breslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome, everybody, to the James Breslow Show. We are back at you on a Wednesday with some exciting guests and news updates. Our guest this hour is Julianne Davis, Hollywood actress, starred in Eyes Wide Shut, and also an opposition to woke Hollywood. So she's one of those in Hollywood that dares to speak up about what's going on in Hollywood, and it's only getting nuttier and nuttier. Pretty easy to know. All you got to watch is any current series or new movie, and you see how nutty Hollywood has gotten. So we're going to cover all that with Julianne in a little bit. Before we get to that, my take on the news. Just today, we have learned that the U.S. Senate has cleared the way for a new gun control legislation. They're saying that this is the most significant gun legislation in decades. They were able to reach a compromise with Republicans, getting approximately 10 Republican senators to support this. Seems little doubt that it would also pass the House, so this is likely to become the law. This is the federal government responding to the absolutely nutty shootings that we've had in the U.S. Of late. You still have the same battle lines being drawn between the left and the right, where the left wants to blame everything that happens like this on guns, whereas conservatives say, hey, let's look at what the root of the problem is and not ban something for everyone when it's only needs to be taken out of the hands of a limited number of people. So why punish those legal gun owners who are using guns responsibly anytime somebody uses it irresponsibly? I come down somewhere in the middle. Obviously, we have to have some control of guns. They cannot be out of control, and we have seen some serious out-of-control incidents of late. We're seeing young men, 18, 19 years old, getting guns legally, tons of rounds of large magazine clips with tons of bullets, multiple guns, AR-15s, I think they are, rifles, very powerful weapon. These kids have major, major mental disorders that had been known, and yet they're able to get these guns. Well, guess what? Under this new statute, nothing regarding that changes. These young nut jobs will still be able to likely get their guns. So here's what it includes. It includes money. One thing the government's always good at doing is throwing money at the problem. When it's the federal government throwing money at the problem, you really have problems, because what do? They send it to the states, and then the states have to use it. Leave things up to the states. We don't need a federal solution to everything. The founders were very wise. They knew that local government is the best government. Small government is the best government. Humongous Washington, D.C. government, the worst government. Have you ever been to D.C.? Do you think people living in D.C. are in the proper position to be setting the laws for Montana, Wyoming, Texas, Missouri, Alaska, Hawaii? Should it be done from Washington, D.C.? Of course not. You just have to go there to really have it resonate and realize why you don't want D.C. making these laws. I did a great trip to D.C. As a part of the company that I was running. And they rolled out the red carpet for us. And we even met with the vice president's office. And we were a bunch of small businessmen sitting around a table in the executive offices right next to the White House. And because they want to hear from small business. And in walks two aides that couldn't have been over 22 years old to sit down with 20 of us business people from California to hear our concerns, like these two have any role in government that can do anything other than write some notes and send them on. It was such a colossal waste of time and absurdity. Now, you sit me down with the Santa Monica City Council, and I got a business in Santa Monica. Okay, now you're talking. Now maybe we've got a situation where local government can truly address our particular needs. So, $750 million, no thank you. Closing the boyfriend loophole Basically, you can't get a gun if you've recently been convicted of spousal abuse. This also includes if you've been convicted of boyfriend or girlfriend abuse. Okay, that's a good one, I guess. More thorough reviews of people ages 18 to 21 who want to buy guns. So there is no federal ban on people under 21. Many people thought that would come out of this, but no, you now are still permitted to get guns as young as 18 years old. It's just that it'll be a more thorough review. And then the last thing, it increases funding, more funding for mental health programs. Yes, we've got a major, major mental health crisis in America. However, it's not as the result of not enough psychiatrists. The problem is not enough fathers and mothers parenting in the house. The breakdown of the nuclear family. That is the problem in America. That's my take on TNT Radio.
Digging deeper into the news.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we have Hollywood actress Julianne Davis, one of my favorite guests from my Hidden Truth Show podcast, which everyone is free to go check out wherever they listen to podcasts. You can also check out episodes from my TNT shows wherever you get your podcasts. All the TNT shows are up there as podcasts. Also, if you want to see my writings, you can go to foxnews.com or you can go to epictimes.com and see some of my columns on there. Welcome back, Julianne.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you. Thank you. Even though we're on a new platform, hopefully it just means a bigger audience for you to share the sort of details of trying to fight back against woke Hollywood here in Los Angeles. I assume you're still in LA?
I am. I'm in the belly of the beast. Yes.
Yeah. Really, well, thank you for all that you do. You're on a very, you're on a very short list of actors who don't mind speaking out and acknowledging that they're conservatives and exposing some of the nonsense that's going on in Hollywood. Since you and I spoke last, which was probably a few years ago, it's only gotten worse for sure. Tell us, first of all, who do you see on the short list of conservative actors out there?
Who do I see? Who do I know personally?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess it's two questions. One is, who is out there speaking out like you are and acknowledging, you know, I think Chuck Norris being an example, et cetera. And who's the guy from John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard? I've had him on my show before. But, you know, there's the list of out of the closet conservatives.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be honest with you. I think the people that are actually coming out and talking about things are people that they're at the point where they're either untouchable or they don't care. Now, I'm of the latter. I don't care. And so I know that I sabotaged my career prospects when I came out. But, you know, I was at the point where I thought it's more important to speak out. And I got sick of feeling totally unempowered by being dishonest with myself and others. And so that's why I came out. And yeah, I've lost dozens and dozens and dozens of acquaintances and friends doing so. And now, the way things are, I just spoke to my manager who amazingly has still kept me on, even though he, you know, voted for Hillary in 2016. I don't know I didn't ask what he voted for in 2020, but I'm assuming he voted for Biden. But for some reason, he still likes me. And I would say he's not a hardcore progressive. So he's kept me on, but I had this short conversation with him recently because a few months ago I had an audition, nice audition, recurring role, and I chose not to do it. And the reason I chose not to do it is I look up the director was woke as hell. And then they said, oh, they required everybody on set to be vaccinated. I am a vehement anti-vaxxer. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer without any science to back it up either. And so they said, well, you'd have to get a medical exemption or you'd have to test every single day with those PCR tests. And I just said to my manager, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to test like that. It's ridiculous.
And to your point, the
unvaxxed are not getting sick. It's the vaxxed that are getting sick, yeah. Left, right, and center. So I'm, you know, so I just said to my manager, I said, you know what? I'm just kind of going to put everything on pause for a while and wait until all this blows over, you know, and it will blow over. It's either going to blow over with everybody getting sick and I hate to say it, dying, or it's going to blow over because people are going to realize, because the science and the truth can't help but eventually come out, right? So I will wait until then.
To your point, I'm sure that once they learn that you are not vaccinated and instead will be taking the regular tests, that's the ding, ding, ding. This is not the type of person we want to be working with. She's a nonconformist. She's not willing to go along with the herd, and she doesn't believe in the collective. She's an individualist, and we believe in the collective here, and in the collective world, everybody gets the same shot, and it just drives them absolutely batty. People who are not willing to get the shot. I mean, I've had these conversations with people, and they just get angry, and they say, just take the damn shot. That's the response of it. It's like these people have just lost all touch with what America was founded on, which is individual liberty. As soon as you start worrying about the health of the other person, who's somebody other than a family member, therein lies the problem. I don't care about your health. Go to McDonald's and eat five Big Macs a day. Do whatever you want. You know, smoke cigarettes and have 16-ounce sugary drinks. Do whatever you want. Have a party. Yeah. It's your life. I'm going to make my own decisions. I don't eat the healthiest. I don't always do the best thing for myself, but I make my own decisions. And it's got to be the same thing with the vaccine. But it's just what's scary is, how many people don't think the way you and I think? I thought everybody did think that way, but no, especially not in California.
Well, the indoctrination is deep. It's so damn deep. And it's been going on for decades. We're just in the final stages of the indoctrination. And people don't realize it. You know, the cognitive dissonance is at hyper levels. And at this point now, you know, it was interesting because when I first came out I guess it was the end of 2015 that I came out, or the beginning of 2016, right before the election. And I at that time, I thought, you know, I'm happy to work with people even if we don't agree politically. But, you know, I don't understand why they're so rigid in their groupthink. You know, I feel differently than that now. I'm not sure if I do want to work with these people. I'm not sure that I do. Because the things that they're embracing are with these people. I'm not sure that I do. Because the things that they're embracing are, for lack of a better word, evil. And I don't want to support it and I don't want to be around them. I'm sorry. I know that sounds extreme, but I don't. And so when it comes to my acting career, or what's left of it, I mean, the good thing is with acting and making art of any kind is that it's a matter of how much you want it and how much you want to do it. And I just did a film. I just did a film called Fear Frequency. It's out now. It's on Amazon. It's on Google. It's on YouTube. And we've won all these awards. And including two Best Actress Awards, which was very nice for me to receive. And, you know, we did it. We did it on our own terms. We did it completely indie, self-funded, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the kind of projects that I'll be wanting to be involved with moving forward, like-minded people. And I can tell you that there are a lot of like-minded people out there. They haven't necessarily come forward to, you know, the Borg, the Hollywood Borg of groupthink, but they don't need to. They can basically give them the finger and then go off and make all their own art, make their own films, write their own stuff, get their own people to film it, do the sound and the color correction and the, you know, find their own DP and all of that stuff. And that's what we did. And we made a pretty damn good film, a really interesting film. It's like a psychological sort of thriller, horror adjacent. And I play a character who is, for lack of a better word, a conspiracy theorist. Ha ha ha. But, you know, it makes people think. And we did it on our own terms. And that's what I think the future is going to be. Because right now, Hollywood and their extreme Marxist progressivism, leftism, you know, vaccine hysteria, they're eating themselves. They're just, it's like, it's actually, at this point, it's going to be either self-destruction if they stick with their ways, or they're going to have to switch gears. Because if you look at, for instance, the Top Gun film that Tom just came out with, I mean, here's a film that is kind of patriotic, and he plays a proper alpha male. And the public, most of the public, not just these little groups of progressive idiots on both coasts, they ate it up. They loved it. And it showed. It showed in the box office. Whereas, likewise, you've got the new Toy Story. And what did that do with its lesbian kiss and its, you know, wokeness? It bombed. So I think we're going to see.
Well, I missed that one. I didn't know about Toy Story and the lesbian kiss. Jesus Christ.
Yep. Very bad.
I mean, it's just amazing how they are force feeding gay and trans to our children. I mean, that's a whole another subject, but I don't want to. We could dive down that monkey hole in a bit, but I just want to stay on this
code word depopulation. Code word depopulation. That's what I think.
All right. Yeah. That's definitely a rat hole I don't want to go down. But yeah, it is interesting. Well, I want to make two observations in response to yours. One is, if it makes you feel any better, it's not just Hollywood canceling, you know, conservatives. It's spread now to almost all industries. You know, if you're talking about big corporations hiring a conservative, I can tell you firsthand, I was being highly considered for some executive level positions in the gaming industry because that's my former business. And but once they Googled me and they see my Fox News pieces, because that's now the first thing that comes up if you Google me, and all of a sudden it's crickets. I am persona non grata. I'm basically unhirable in my old industry simply because of those Fox News pieces. That's number one. So not only has it gotten worse in Hollywood, it's the cancer has spread outside of Hollywood. And then the other observation is, you know, we've got this left and right media now where it's either Fox News or it's CNN, MSNBC. But now you kind of see entertainment being divided up the same way. And it's kind of happening in the same way it happened with the media. You know, Fox became Fox because most media had a liberal bias, and Fox came in with conservative. Well, most Hollywood has a liberal bias, but you do now see popping up some conservative entertainment. The Tom Cruise movie, borderline, I've got some thoughts about that, but you know, one that I saw recently, I'm curious if you saw, did you see American Underdog?
I haven't yet.
So I saw it on the plane. But this was a pretty big movie, great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but it is definitely conservative media. I don't know who produced it, but you know, it's got a serious kind of Christian underpinning to the whole thing. But it's all about the St. Louis Rams quarterback who took him to the Super Bowl and won, and now I'm blanking on his name. I'll have to come up with it during the break. But anyway, it's got an amazing message to it. Very well done. True story, essentially based upon his book, and just showing that, you know, Hollywood is now splitting between movies are even made, or they're all being made by one bench or the other. It's either conservative or it's liberal.
Yeah. Well, as I say, you know, there's a lot of people there in Hollywood that they're not speaking up publicly to, if they're, you know, it currently ensconced in a show or whatever that is being run by progressives, but they there are plenty of people that are making moves, to form their own studios, form their own production companies, write their own material, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that that's a great thing. The one thing that people on the right need to work on a hell of a lot more, though, when it comes to storytelling, is subversive writing. There's the one thing that the left has been great at, and they're less subversive now. I mean, now they're really hitting us over the head with it, but they've been subversive for a very long time in the way they slip in their worldview into, you know, either a subplot or whatever from a film or a TV show. Whereas when Christians or people on the right try to make a film, they end up making faith-based films. Now, I don't have a problem with faith-based films, obviously. I am a Christian. However, when you want to, you know, when you want to go and see a film, you want to be entertained and you want to have something that doesn't that doesn't hit it on the nail every time, that isn't so predictable and so simplistic of a storyline, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's bland and boring, frankly. And for those people that are writing those kinds of films, if they think that they're going to convert people from the center to the left in going to see these films, I can tell you absolutely, those people are never going to see those films. The way you change people's minds is to do it subversively, where they don't realize they're being preached to in a way, right? And that they're being shown that there is a better way to live and that good is truly better than choosing evil, etc. And they're and you know, when you see all these different films that do well, there is a hero. They do abide by what you would call the moral law. And people just naturally, regular people naturally want to gravitate towards that. They feel uplifted by it. And they feel more at peace with it. You see my point? And I think more than ever before, we have to get clever and we have to put out content like never before to try and change what people's minds could be changed.
Yeah, we got it. We're up against a break. When we get back, I want to talk about these new rules that the Academy Awards have put in place to even be eligible for consideration for an Academy Award. Here's how woke your movie has to be. We'll be back after the break with Julianne Davis on TNT Radio.
Michael Parker on TNT Radio.
You know, in this show, we talk a lot about climate, climate science, climate hoax. Do we have a climate crisis? Are we in a climate catastrophe? And we talk often to geologists, people who are involved with the dynamics of the planet itself, whether it be plate tectonics. We've talked to people who study the cycles of the sun, et cetera, but we really haven't had a meteorologist on. So Joe Bastardi, who's our guest in this hour, he has a book called The Weaponization of Weather in the Phony Climate War. Joe, welcome to the show.
One of the problems Yellowstone is having, along with those areas, it's been much colder and wetter than normal this year. You wouldn't know that now, would you? That because all you're going to hear about is the hysteria from what I have labeled the meteorology misinformation media.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
One of the best things about Freedom Fest is while you can go to other places to talk about liberty and things like that, here you find a diverse group of people who will always teach you something new and make you think differently about the liberty movement.
There are all kinds of vendors here, all kinds of electeds. There are speakers, celebrities. We all have one thing in common. We think that there's too much government, and we think that our personal freedoms have eroded over time.
Don't miss Freedom Fest,
the largest liberty event of the year.
July 13th to 16th at the Mirage in Las Vegas. For more information, go to freedomfest.com.
Government today.
They're not human. They ought to be destroyed.
It's like all the children from the Village of the Damned grew up and went into politics.
You can't stop us, you know.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back on the James Breslow Show. We are talking to Julianne Davis, Hollywood actress and out-of-the-closet conservative. I mentioned a movie, American Underdog. Kurt Warner is the quarterback that is portrayed in that. I highly recommend that movie. To your point, look, I'd rather it not be left and right entertainment. It should just be entertainment. Left and right should not enter into it. If it happens to be a movie about the left or the right or about politics, obviously so be it. But otherwise, that should be it. Just make a good damn movie. This is art. This is not politics. However, that has gotten a lot more difficult of late because the Academy of Motion Pictures, who of course needs to be as woke as possible, equity, diversity, and inclusion, blah, 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 BS, BS. This is just incredible. I mean, it's just how we got into this is beyond me. But anyway, they've got these four diversity requirements, two of which must be met. And this is in order to be considered for Best Picture. So Best Picture is no longer about the best movie. It's the best movie that met certain diversity criteria. So it's a limited group of movies that will be even considered to be the best movie that has to have met these diversity criteria. I'll just read real quick a couple of them. The first requires that at least one of the lead actors or significant supporting actors is from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group. And then I think they define those groups. At least 30%, or at least 30% of all actors in secondary and more minor roles are from underrepresented groups, or that the main storyline, theme, or narrative of the film is centered on an underrepresented group. Julianne, I'm not sure if you're part of an underrepresented group. You know what? You may be, because there's so many groups now. They keep coming up with one after the other to throw into the underrepresented groups that I guess it's becoming easier and easier. I'm not sure if you qualify. Sorry.
Well, actually, I do. I am part Yankton Sioux. My mother belonged to the tribe. So there's
there
that.
We go.
But you know what?
There we go.
This
I think in
thing,
my...
Do you know what I think?
In my DNA test, you know, most people come out like, you know, 1.3% or whatever, American Indian. I think I got some of that in me. So, I mean, when my child's applying for college, they're checking the mixed race box. They're checking all the ethnicity boxes because we are a hodgepodge of ethnicities. Screw you. She's checking all those boxes.
But you know what? I don't want to play that game. I am mostly white and I am mostly Anglo. And so I'm going to proudly check the white box, you know, and am I a racist for saying that? No. It's just a matter of I am what I am, and that's fine. But this whole diversity, equity, inclusion thing, my opinion, it's racist and sexist, and that's exactly what it is. And we should call it nothing other than that. It is racist and sexist because they are judging people by their race and sex. That's it. And every time somebody says something about that, I'm going to say, okay, so you're racist and sexist. Great. That's what you've chosen. That's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and you might as well call it transphobic too, since they love calling us transphobic or homophobic, because they're also judging people based on simply on who they prefer to sleep with or what gender they identify with, suddenly makes them especially qualified to be in a movie or be in anything else. I mean, the state of California, it's been determined to be illegal under the Constitution. Thank God we had some courts, some judges with some sense in them. But Governor Newsom and the California legislature thought there was no problem with requiring California corporations to have at least X number of people who identify as female and X number of people who identify as a particular race or in a particular LGBT category. You had to have a minimum number of those on your board. It was okay if your board was exclusively gay or exclusively female or exclusively Hispanic. That's okay. They don't care how many white males are on there. As long as the underrepresented groups are represented, that's what they consider diversity.
You know what I find incredible? And I invite everyone to actually do their own research. Go on to, pick a country in Africa or in South America, or in Asia, like China, for instance, or Japan, and have a look at what their criterias are. I mean, all of those places tend to be you know, I mean, there's some tribalism going on in Africa, but for the most part, we're talking a monoculture. And it's only in the West where we've had a white majority that they're not accepting that. And I find that really interesting. I mean, if you, sure, you could argue that any of the former white European Anglo colonies like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America, shouldn't be majority white because they've been colonized. Okay, I'll give you that. But then what do you have to say about Europe, which is the European Anglo motherland? That also needs to be diversity, equity, and inclusion. That also needs to be not a white majority. So how is it okay for an African country, any country in Africa, to be an African majority, and not a European country to be a European majority? That's something that they can't answer. It just strikes me as white hate, and I don't understand that. Some people can call me a white supremacist. They'd be wrong. I'm just saying that why can't every people survive and have their own land and develop their own civilization that they are happy with and that they can continue and you know, develop their own art and develop their own companies and their own architecture, and I could go on and on. Why not? If Japan can do it and China can do it and India can do it, you know, why not countries that have a white majority? What's wrong with that? Why is that wrong? No one can answer that. They won't answer
well,
that.
You've exposed them. It's a great point. And you've exposed them for what it really is. It's using race and sex as a tool to dismantle capitalism. Because white
and
males
individualism,
in general,
as you said.
Yes. Yeah. Collectivism over individualism.
Yeah.
It's just a tool, and that's the tool that they use here, just like in the Soviet Union, where you didn't have diversity back in 1917. There, they used it based on class, and the bourgeois class taking advantage of the proletariat, etc. Aristocrats over the proletariat. So it was a class-based system, and the working class needed to overthrow the ruling class. That's what they use there. So here they use race, and this is, of course, you know, a relatively new phenomenon in the U.S. that they've kind of hit upon this. I don't know, maybe it has longer history than I'm aware of, but certainly it seems of recent times, in the last 10 years, this has certainly been the direction they've chosen to go as a way to essentially overturn the American Constitution. It was all founded on racism and white supremacy, and the whole thing needs to be overturned.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it is also a class war. It's both. It's a race war and a class war. I mean, for the Marxist progressives, it's basically by any means necessary. And they really do mean it, by any means necessary. The problem with individualists is that individualists tend to be independent thinkers, and that's not acceptable. Independent thinkers are difficult to control. And that's why they want to get rid of individualists and individualism, because they don't want people that are difficult to control. They want people to be easy to control. So unfortunately, for all of us that have spoken out and aren't accepting the herd and the groupthink mentality, we're on a list. we're on a hit list of you know, bad people that that are not acceptable in this future globalist world that they're envisioning.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, COVID has been used for so many things that the left has dreamed about. But one of the biggest has been, yes, as you say, this purging of individual thinkers. It's their best way to purge them, because obviously if you're not taking the vaccine, you qualify as an individual thinker, and they're being purged from the military. They're being purged from police forces, being purged from the ranks of teachers and so on. This is just a godsend to the left.
It is, but it's also an invitation to the right, because it means that we have the opportunity to create parallel societies. I'm not kidding about that. If you can't get hired in their world, then don't be a part of their world. Form your own companies, form your own corporations, form your own film production companies. Do things yourself. If you look at the early, and I'm talking early, you know, millennia ago, Europeans that were in the north that found that had traveled north from, you know, from further south, and they found themselves in a situation where they were in really harsh winters, and they knew that they had to be creative thinkers in order to literally survive. They needed to plan. They needed to understand the concept of delayed gratification. And they needed to understand all the things that they needed to do in order to not only survive, but thrive. And those are the people that started the journey to what we call Western civilization today. And I think that if we can re-embrace that, for lack of a better word, pioneering spirit, where we do create our own things again, I think that we can build up again. And I am even more vehement for individualist thinkers to move forward in this way and to create their own parallel societies. Because, like I said earlier, I don't want to be a part of their world. Do you? I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I wish it could be more one world, I just feel like there was a time when I was very young that it seemed like Americans all pretty much agreed on some basic premises, including that our founding was pretty great and that the founders were pretty great and the Declaration of Independence is pretty great and our Constitution is pretty great. And we had at least that core foundation
and
of
it
beliefs
is.
Individuality, etc.
Yes.
And
yes.
We don't share those core beliefs anymore, it seems.
We don't. And it's very sad. It's very sad. You know what's really interesting? There is a very, very similar constitution, in fact, almost identical, in Liberia. But look at Liberia. Liberia has a tremendous amount of fraud and corruption and all of that. But what's the difference between Liberia and America? And how are things changing? I'm just going to ask that question to your people and have them think about it. But I just find that really interesting. Why is Liberia such a mess? And why did America last so long, 200 years? I mean, I don't think that currently America is America anymore. But as I say, I still have hope because I have great hope in the individualists, because I believe that they will rebuild and they will find a way. And it doesn't matter how much we're attacked. It doesn't matter how much we're forced, because we will come away from that and we will rebuild and we will rethink and we will create.
So real quick, you've left me on the cliffhanger. Give me the answer. Why is Liberia failed with the same constitution as the U.S.?
Because the culture of the people is different and has been different for thousands of years. And the culture is different from, like, the Europeans, as I said, the way they built their world over thousands of years, that culture is different. You can't just put a constitution in front of people and say, okay, here's our wonderful, beautiful constitution, follow it. There's a difference between politics and culture. And culture is not something that you can change overnight. I mean, I've said the same thing about Islam. You can complain about Islamism or Islamists or fundamentalist Islamists. And you could, if it was possible, and a lot of Muslim scholars have talked about this, about, you know, altering some of the Quran so that it didn't have the violence that it contains. However, altering words doesn't change a culture. If a culture has risen out of from the people, from a learned experience over thousands of years. It's going to take a very long time for that culture to change. And what I'm saying,
okay,
even though
so
the
I'm
mess
with,
that
I,
we're
I understand.
In, right.
Yeah, I understand your point now, and it really brings to light for me the cultural changes going on in America that the left knows need to happen, because you do need to change the culture of America in order to destroy the system. Because if you got a culture that buys into it, which is what we've had for a long time, and a lot of that is coming from the South. The reason they love people coming up from the South is they are coming from a totally different culture of state control. I mean, it's a bunch of leftist governments south of the United States of America. Mexico, Latin America, South America, filled with leftist governments. And that's why the left wants them in the U.S. in order to change the culture.
The funny thing is, though, there was, oh gosh, I wish I could remember her name. I think it was in Texas. She's a Latina woman, and she was just elected. And she was the first Republican to be elected in that region for over 50 or 100 years, like something ridiculous, like a ridiculously long amount of time. And it's a 100% Latino community, and they voted Republican.
Let's come back to that after the break. I got to take a break, but I mean, on the one hand, I do think this is what the left has in mind with people coming from the South. That being said, I've got a lot of Russian friends who date back, or parents date back, to communist days, and they remember that, and they are some of our best American citizens, because they are on guard big time against the slippage they see in America going in that direction. We'll be back after the break with more discussion with Julianne Davis on TNT Radio.
Here we go again. Less than a decade to prevent catastrophic global warming. Michael Mann says so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
What better way than to panic people by telling them they have less than 10 years in which to act on global warming? Here is ClimateGate professor Michael Mann explaining the latest 10-year tipping point.
We have less than a decade now to bring carbon emissions down globally by 50%.
Yes, you heard that right. Despite the fact that the UN issued a climate tipping point in 1989 of 10 years, which expired in 1999, and the Green New Deal's founder, AOC, issued a 12-year tipping point just a few years ago. In fact, the earliest known climate tipping point is 1864, when Abraham Lincoln was still president. An academic warned of climatic excess unless man changed his evil ways. The more things change, the more they stay the same. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
You only put your son to bed 111 hour ago, and he's woken up saying his tummy really hurts and he's got a temperature. You're worried. The 111 person you normally speak to isn't available. The surgery's closed. It's not an emergency, but you're not sure what to do. Then you remember the new free 24-hour NHS number, 111. They assess you and direct you straight away to the medical help you need. Your 111 relieved mum.
If it's not a 999 emergency, but you need medical help fast, there's now 111 number to call. When it's less urgent than 999, call 111. Now available on the Isle of Wight.
If you want the jibby jab, all right, enough, then you've come to the wrong station. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back to our final segment with Julianne Davis, Hollywood actress, conservative activist. She came out of the closet as a conservative in Hollywood. In our final minutes, we got about 10 minutes left. I want to kind of change gears a little bit and talk about other people that need to stay in the closet in Hollywood, or stayed in the closet. Gays, obviously, which I want to get to, but I want to start with the Me Too movement and the Harvey Weinstein situation and so on. And all of these women who stayed silent to protect their careers, and that's what we're talking about. You would have had to stay silent to protect your career about your true political beliefs. There's a lot of gay men in Hollywood that feel the need to stay in the closet regarding their sexuality to protect their careers. And you also had lots of women who stayed silent for decades about abuse that they suffered by directors, producers, executives, etc., because they didn't want to hurt their career. I'd like you just to talk a little bit about that, and how should we feel about these women? Because on the one hand, you know, I'll never blame a victim, but on the other hand, man, you need to come forward, because otherwise this person's going to do it to others.
Boy, this is a really big subject. I'm just going to say that it takes two. And there is, while on one hand, Hollywood and the fashion industry, because I've been in both, I was a fashion model for decades before I became an actor. It's rife with predators, you know, gay and straight predators. And, you know, if, as anyone who is a young actor or actress, or, you know, a pretty person that wants to move ahead, I mean, you are going to be navigating this world of shark-like predators. And it's a tricky world. And I think that there's a lot of women that say to themselves, if this is what I have to do, then I'm going to do it. And then there's other women that don't want to do that, but they have to just sort of politely tiptoe around it, but not get the reputation of being a bitch or whatever, right? So I was the one that would politely tiptoe around it and try to come out unscathed. And, you know, who knows what my career would have been if I had not tiptoed around it, if I had put out when I saw the opportunity was possible. I don't know. I'll never know.
Well,
but
I couldn't
live with myself, you know. So the thing is, we can say, we can point the finger at those women that, oh, they need to come out. But I can tell you that a lot of those women who are in the position that they're in now, don't really want to give up that position. And they know that it was because of their choices that they're in that position. So you can kind of understand why they didn't come out. Does that make sense?
It does. But I think it makes them complicit in the whole thing,
yeah,
right? Because
absolutely.
as long as there's women willing to do it in exchange for career favors, then the women that aren't willing to do it are put at a disadvantage, and that's the game. The game
that's
is
true. I think people don't really have an understanding of what Hollywood is like. I mean, for people that really want money, fame, power, they will claw and scratch and screw and do anything they can in order to get there. They will be cowardly. They will be duplicitous. They will be backstabbing. I mean, it's a dark world. I'm not going to lie to you. So those women that are at a disadvantage because they have to navigate this stuff, I say this, you need to make your choice. You need to draw your line and stick with it, because the truth is there's hundreds of Harvey Weinsteins out there. Just because Harvey Weinstein's you know, serving a prison sentence right now, or is he? I don't know if he's been sentenced yet, but, or, you know, Kevin Spacey and all of the allegations against these various, Bill Cosby, I mean, I could go on. At the end of the day, okay, those three people have been outed, right? But there's still hundreds more. And guess what? When all of those people die off, there's still going to be hundreds more right behind them. That's the truth, and that's the reality. I mean, I think it's great if women come out and they stick to their guns and they do out people, but those women have principles to begin with. And then the women that don't come out, or men that don't come out and shut their mouths and either put out or tiptoe around it and still try to navigate themselves in the business and still try and rise up even though they're not putting out, well, they made their choice. And that's the reality.
I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking to myself as you speak, you know, how this started to begin with in Hollywood. And I guess one simple answer is, you know, it's been going on for a very long time.
It's been going
Hollywood
on since it began.
And Hollywood, but think of it, think of it this way. Hollywood is filled with pretty girls. So that's number one. Men in decision-making positions from the early days. And when you think about it, in those days, and I'm going back to 30s, 40s, because I'm assuming it went back that far, if not earlier, you know, women weren't in the workforce that much in other industries, right? So you have a lot of women, attractive women, in the workforce with all men decision makers. And I presume that's the recipe that launched this whole thing in Hollywood.
Absolutely. Look, when you've got beauty and the want of fame on one side and money and power on the other, that's what you get. And you get it in Hollywood and you get it in the fashion industry. In way back in, I think it was around 1994, there was a, when I was living in the UK, there was a BBC exclusive with Donal McIntyre. And they exposed a whole bunch of basically predatory men in Paris and in Milan. And how that whole thing came out is I have a friend who's a journalist, an investigative journalist there, Lisa Brinkworth, who asked me about the business. She was originally trying to do an article on heroin chic and the whole thing that Kate Moss was involved with I think it was her current boyfriend of the day, Sorrenti, Mario or Marco Sorrenti. Anyway, so she was asking me about this, and I said, you want the real dirt on the fashion industry? I said, you need to go to Milan and Paris and look and see what's going on there, like the head of Elite Paris, who, by the way, was married to Linda Evangelista. Anyway, so they did this whole expose. A whole bunch of people got fired. They uncovered all the predatory aspects of what was going on there. And guess who else was involved in all that? Jeffrey Epstein, who I happened to have met back in 1994. And of course, he was in Paris in the summertime. Why in the summertime, you ask? Because that's when the youngest girls are out trying to get tear sheets in the summertime during their school break. So that's been going on for a long time, all of this. And I, you know, whenever I do meet a young model or a young actor, I always say, make sure you know where make sure that you have your moral compass set in stone and that you don't cross that line. Because when people do cross the line because they want money and fame so badly, it really does destroy their soul. And I've always said you have to keep your soul intact no matter what.
Well, I'm going to kind of assume that there has been significant change in Hollywood because of such big names that have come down, both, you know, media and entertainment, and that there has been a significant change there. Modeling industry, I don't know about. It wouldn't surprise me if there has been very little change there. But address real quickly, what do you think? Have we seen a big change in Hollywood? Is this thing going to be something that is relegated to the past?
I hate to say it. I think all this is a quote, trend, unquote. I mean, Me Too is a trend. And there have been certain actors and actresses that have kind of jumped onto that bandwagon, which have helped put their name a little bit higher on the on people's lips, you know, going, oh, well, you know, so-and-so is champion the Me Too industry or the Me Too movement, rather. But I think it will fall away in time. And I think that you will. I'm sorry this sounds so dark, and I don't mean to sound so dark, but I think that it's going to continue. Again, I'm going to say it again. When the want of fame and beauty is on one side and money and power is on the other, these things are going to happen, and they are going to happen. It's humanity. I hate to say it's the dark side of humanity.
Yeah. Well, it's one positive that has been coming out of Hollywood is the Me Too movement. I hope it doesn't go away because it is an important change. It kind of reminds me of attacking bullying in schools. That's something that's just always existed, but it really shouldn't. And there's been a nice movement against that too. I got to leave it there. We just got about 30 seconds left for you to promote whatever you want to promote, Julianne. You've been a great guest.
Right. So I made a film. It's called Fear Frequency with me and two other producers. We've won all sorts of awards. It's available on Google Play, on Amazon Prime, and on YouTube. It's called Fear Frequency. Go watch it.
Thank you, Julianne Davis. Thank you, Julianne Davis, so much for coming on the show. We're going to definitely have you on again because we only scratched the surface. You're listening to The James Breslow Show on TNT Radio. We'll be back in the next hour with Dr. Galen McCullough, author of Tomorrow in America, The Battle for the Souls of Our Children on TNT Radio.